This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
Hello and welcome back to the Eat Like Ruby podcast. I am going to jump straight into today's topic because this episode is going to flow straight on from our last episode. So if you haven't listened to that one, make sure you do so straight after this or even go back and listen to that now. That episode was all about do's and don'ts with New Year's nutrition. And today's episode is going to be all about do's and don'ts with New Year's training. So there'll be a few little things that are intertwined in both episodes, but that last one was a real focus on obviously how to manage our diet and nutrition going into the new year, the common things I see people doing, maybe things they shouldn't be doing and everything like that. And then today the focus is going to be a little bit more on gym training, movement and all that sort of thing. So I'm going to jump straight into it. On that note, I am going to talk predominantly about gym training today as that is mostly what I work with my girls, but I always want to make it really clear to people, especially if you are somebody who's not a real gym junkie or nutrition and training aren't a huge part of your lifestyle, we don't have to train in a gym. I feel like people fall into the mindset or the belief of if I train in the gym, that is the right thing and that is the good thing and I am being good. And if I'm not training in the gym, that's wrong. It's bad. I am bad. It's a bad week if I don't train in the gym and that sort of thing. So I always want to make it really clear to people, we don't have to do this. If we have a goal of wanting to build or shape our physique or work on a strength and performance goal, then gym training is going to be optimal for that. And like I said, that's predominantly who I work with in my business. But if we are focusing on just overall health or fat loss, we don't have to train in a gym. We don't even have to train at all when it comes to fat loss. And I want to make it super, super clear that we still should train for overall health. We should find some form of movement that we enjoy and participate in it regularly, but we do not have to train in a gym or train at all to lose weight, to lose body fat. It can definitely help, but it doesn't have to happen. So the real thing that I want people to take from that before we get into the gym specific stuff is find a form of movement that you enjoy. We do want to move, obviously, for the sake of overall health, like I said, and it can help in the fat loss equation. And I'll talk about that a little bit in a second. But if you are somebody that really just does not like the gym, it's not your scene, it's not your thing, my number one piece of advice going into the new year would be to find a form of movement that you enjoy, whether it is something, you know, like a typical exercise thing like walking or running, or literally an activity like surfing, volleyball, horse riding, anything at all, anything where you're up and moving, that is awesome. So make that your number one focus this year. Find a form of movement that you enjoy. If you are someone who is going into the new year or listening to this at any time and has a fat loss goal, like I said, we don't have to train to achieve fat loss. But when it comes to achieving a fat loss goal, that will come down to the equation of calories in versus calories out. And like I said, that's what we've spoken about heaps in those last few episodes in regards to nutrition. How do we manage our nutrition, aka our calories coming in, and then our exercise is where we factor in the calories going out. So what I want to explain here is when it comes to calories out, a lot of people think that that begins and ends with exercise, or that the main big portion of that comes from exercise, and it's actually not the case at all. So I'm going to get a little bit technical for a second here, and what we're speaking about right now will tie in so well with what we've spoken about in those recent episodes of how we can really understand that fat loss equation and or the weight gain and muscle gain equation as well, because we know that if we take it in one direction, we create a deficit and then we achieve fat loss and weight loss, or we can take it in the other direction and achieve a calorie surplus and therefore achieve weight gain and muscle gain. So if we think about that and the way we've spoken about it with nutrition, where the calories out comes into play for most people, unless we are looking at an elite athlete with a really high training volume throughout their week, but for most people that go to gym or play a sport a few times a week, whether it be 3, 5, even 6 times a week, usually our calories out or our calories burnt make up about 15 to 20% of our total calorie expenditure. So the amount of calories our body uses for the day, for most people, that is about 15% exercise. And if we think about a rest day, it's actually 0% exercise, but yet our body is still obviously using and burning calories on those days. So when we look at that equation and where majority of our calories burnt or our energy expenditure, which is another way that we say it, comes from, is a huge piece of that comes from what we call our BMR, which is our basal metabolic rate. And we're not going to get too technical today, but that is basically our metabolism. Basically, that is how many calories our body needs to simply be alive. This is literally before we factor in any movement at all. If we woke up, laid in bed all day, like did not even get up out of bed for the day, went back to sleep, our body would use a certain amount of calories to simply be alive, just to be alive, to have our organs functioning, to have our brain working, to have our heart beating. Our body needs a certain amount of energy, aka calories, to make that happen. This number will be different for everybody, and it'll come down to a few factors like gender, age, height, weight, therefore our overall body size. But it will be anywhere from 1,000 calories to maybe up towards 1,600, 1,700 for like a bigger person, maybe a bigger male. So like I said, it will range depending on all of those things. If we think about a teeny tiny petite female compared to like a massive male football player, obviously their bodies are going to require a different amount of energy to simply be alive. Like we're fueling a massive machine versus quite a small machine. So when we look at the calories burned or the energy expenditure, a huge part of it is simply coming from being alive. Then if we take it to that next step and we actually get up out of bed or off the couch for the day, which most of us hopefully are, we burn so many calories, aka use so much energy, to simply move and get through our day. So things like cleaning the house, walking around at work, walking around anywhere, going to the shops, any single thing we're doing, literally me sitting here, if you're watching this, not listening, me sitting here moving my hands around, obviously requires some amount of energy. And that in itself wouldn't be a lot, but if we think about our entire day and how much we move for the entire day, that's gonna add up a lot. And this is where our steps come into it. So obviously everybody is super focused on their steps and how many steps we get. If somebody was to get 3,000 or 4,000 steps for the day, as opposed to somebody getting 10,000 or 12,000 for the day, we're going to have a bigger energy output for that person getting that higher step count for the day. And this is where they factor into it. So this is a massive piece of our energy expended, aka calories burnt, throughout the day. Again, this will be different for everybody, whether you move a lot or you don't move at all. Obviously, if we think about somebody that sits in an office as opposed to somebody that works on a job site, has a physical job, whatever it might be, they're going to have a different output. But if we step back and look at our overall day and how much we move around outside of the gym, that's a huge part of our day. If we keep looking at the fat loss equation, like I said, I'm not going to get too technical, but there is a little portion of our calories burnt that comes from eating, which sounds super confusing, but it's basically the energy that our body uses or requires to consume food, digest food, absorb the nutrients, and go through that whole process. This is quite a small part of our day. It's usually around 8% of the energy that our body uses for the whole day. Around 8% of that will come from consuming, digesting, absorbing food. So then our calories burned in the gym, aka our exercise, whatever we want to refer to that to, make up the last part of our energy expenditure for the day. So if we think about all of those things, simply being alive, functioning, we do that every single day. Eating takes up a little bit, we do that every single day. Getting up and moving around and just living our everyday life takes up a lot. And then we have that final aspect of our energy expenditure, which is exercise. So it's such a small piece of the puzzle when we think about all of that. If you think about all those other things I mentioned, we do them throughout the whole day. Whereas exercise, we normally do that for about an hour, give or take. So if you're somebody that thinks all of my calories burn, all of my energy expenditure is happening during training, That is simply not the case. So that's the first thing we want to be really open-minded to and just acknowledge that whether we train that day or not, or how hard we train, how intense we train, is not going to be make or break in that fat loss equation of calories in versus calories out. So if we think about that and then refer back to what I said at the start about finding that thing that you really enjoy, most people, like I said, get into that mindset of like, I have to do this style of training, I have to do cardio, I have to do high intensity, whatever that belief might be, it usually comes down to that assumption that this is where my fat loss is either going to happen or not happen for the day. And if we think about all those things, it's simply not the case. So piecing all of that together, I would absolutely just advise to really find that style of movement or that thing that you enjoy, work it into your day, and it will play a part in that energy expenditure for sure. But it's not going to be something that you're going to have to drag yourself through because you feel like you have to. If you are somebody who loves the gym, or likes the gym at least, and it is a fairly big part of your lifestyle, it's quite a priority to you, it's not something that you feel like you've got to drag yourself through, you enjoy it, you feel motivated to do it, it's definitely something that you want to be part of your 2023 nutrition and training plan, that is awesome. Obviously, like I said at the start, that is predominantly the type of girls I work with. They're into that scene, they really like it, they want to make it part of their week, they want to make it part of their year. If you are in that position and you haven't listened to the last episode, I would definitely go back and listen to that, because we spoke about how to really structure your nutrition to suit that sort of a lifestyle. So definitely go and have a listen to that one. But now we're going to talk today about how to really set your training up for that. Obviously, I am a huge fan of resistance training and strength and conditioning. Like I said, I work with heaps of girls who are super focused on either performance goals and or shaping and building their physique. And this sort of training is key for that. I think resistance training and strength and conditioning works wonders for these goals, but it also works wonders for physical health and mental health as well. I think it is such a game changer. Any gym girl that is listening to this will know how awesome they feel when they've really found their groove with like a solid resistance training program, and you're just in that mindset where you go into the gym and you just want to kill it and you love it, and it just becomes such an empowering part of your, not only your nutrition and training, but of your day and of your life. I could not speak more highly of that. I am such an advocate for that. So the first thing I want these sort of girls, if you're somebody who can relate to all of this and you're thinking, yep, this is my jam, I really want to hear what Ruby has to say on this. The first thing I want people in that position to understand is that there are no rules on how often we have to train. I think people get really adamant on like, I have to do 5 days a week, or I have to do a certain amount of sessions. The number one thing we want here is consistency and a progressive structured program in place. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a second. But coming back to that consistency piece, if we think we have to train a certain amount of times per week, whether that be 5, 6, whatever it is, and we can't do that, like other things happen in life, shit comes up, whatever, we just can't keep that in place long term, we lose the progression and structure from our training. If we've written a training program that has 5 workouts a week and we do them this week and then we go back next week and we're supposed to do them again and we progress through them, if we can't keep that up, like I said, and we start dropping off and only going 4 times or 3 times, we lose the structure, we lose the programming, we lose the progression. And I'm going to speak about why that's so important in a second. But I have this convo with so many girls all the time. We would much rather be realistic and acknowledge how often you can go to gym, how often you want to go to gym, what you want to work on, and then structure a program based on those things that you can definitely stick to all the time. If we miss a random session here or there, it's not the end of the world, but if we have a 4 or 5 day program in place and you are consistently going to the gym 3 days a week and skipping sessions every single week, we lose the whole point of having a program in the first place. So the number one thing is to drop that expectation of how often you think you have to train. Really have a look at your week, your lifestyle, and like I said, how often you can and how often you want to. Work that out, and then we program from there. I have girls that will train on a progressive program 5 days a week. I have girls that literally will do one full body session a week, and they might do other things in their week. They might do running, they might do a sport, they might do activities, but we know that they're going to go to gym and lift weights 1 day a week. So we program for that, and every single week they go in and they progress through that program because it's been written to actually work for them and that goal. The other piece that comes into play here is we want to go for quality over quantity, and everything I'm going to speak today is all going to kind of tie in together. But if we are simply in the mindset of like, we have to train so many times, we have to smash ourselves in the gym, we've just got to go, 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 we lose the quality of our training. Like, we can only train so hard, lift super heavy, run super fast, whatever it might be, whatever we're working on. We can only do that at a super high level for so long before we get physically fatigued and mentally fatigued. And then that even starts to roll back into that last point. People start to hit that wall and they can't keep up the amount of training sessions that they wanted to do. So tying that all in together, we want to aim for that quality training over quantity training. The whole point of training, if we have a body composition goal, like we're trying to build a certain muscle, build certain shape through our body, or work on a performance goal, whether that be running a certain time, lifting a certain weight, perfecting a certain movement, we need a structured progressive training program in place with what we call progressive overload. And again, we won't get too technical, but in simple terms, what this means is if, let's say we're trying to run 5Ks in 20 minutes, and right now we can run 5Ks in 30 minutes, our program will be designed to progress towards that 20-minute mark. So we might aim to run it in 28 minutes, and then we might aim to run it in 26, and we can see over time that progression happens. And if we think back to that point that I just said about we're skipping sessions and we're skipping weeks, we have a week where we're supposed to run it in 28 minutes, and then we skip a few, and then we're suddenly supposed to run it in 22 minutes, but we've skipped 3 weeks, and that progression is gone. The same thing happens when we lift weights. Let's say, for example, we're trying to get a certain deadlift, like lift a certain weight on a deadlift. If we're doing maybe 3 sets of 6 reps, for example, at 60 kilos, the next week we want to go in and do maybe 3 sets of 8 reps at 60 kilos or 3 sets of 6 reps at 62 kilos. And then the next week it's 3 sets of 6 reps at 65 kilos. And there's the progression. Over time, we're increasing weight, we're increasing reps, we're increasing sets as we progress through that program. Again, if we start randomly skipping shit, we go one day, we go 1 week, we don't go the next week, we lose that progression. So if we have that progression in place, each session, each week, each month, we're slowly progressing through our training with more reps, more sets, more weight, whatever it might be, all of those things over time. The whole point is that we're pushing that little bit harder each session and each week and each month, like I said. And again, we'll bring it back to simple terms, but the whole point of that is that we push the body to a point where it basically thinks, shit, that was hard, I need to be better if she makes me do that again. So bringing it back to that deadlift example, if we'd been lifting 60 kilos and then we go to 62.5, obviously that's going to be a little bit harder for our body. It's nothing crazy. We haven't doubled the weight or anything, but it is a little bit harder. And like I said, your body feels that adjustment, and then it in turn adjusts because it thinks, again, if I have to go and do that, I need to be bigger, better, stronger, whatever is required to meet that new level that she's asking me to be at. And if we keep going through that cycle, that is literally how we progress through training. That is the point of training. That is the point of a structured program. That is the point of progressive overload. All of those things that I mentioned at the start that we really need. If we lose our consistency, we don't have those things. So coming back to pushing the body to that point, the whole reason that we train and that we work through that progressive program is to do this. We then leave the gym or leave our training, whatever it is we're doing, and enter our recovery mode. And what a lot of people don't understand is that this is where the adaptation actually happens. And when we say adaptation, we mean that progress in strength, muscle gain, speed, whatever it might be, whatever we're working on. If we have pushed the body in a training session to a new point that it hasn't been at before, it's going to have that level of fatigue. It's going to be pushed that bit harder. It's going to need to recover. When it does, that's when it goes through that process of thinking, shit, if I have to do that again, I've got to be better. So then we go through that recovery. We go back to gym or running, whatever it might be. And the body has adapted that little bit. And then we push it that little bit harder. And this is a super slow process. This will not happen. It's not like every single week we'll add weight and we'll look bigger and leaner and be stronger. And then the next week it'll happen again and it'll happen again. When we step back, this really happens over time. If we look at the weight we might lift in January and then we go through this process for months and all of a sudden we look at the weight we're lifting in May or June, we can see that progress when we step back and look at it over time. So coming back to what we spoke about before about wanting quality over quantity, we're wanting to push ourselves in our training sessions to reach this point, to have our body hit that point. And then we're wanting to spend time in recovery to literally recover from that point and be able to go harder next time. If people are stuck in this loop or stuck in this mindset of being like, I have to constantly push harder and train more and train more and train more, we lose that recovery phase. And that is honestly where the magic happens. That is where, again, we'll get technical for a second. It sounds terrible, but it's not. When we train, we break down our muscle fibers. Literally, if we lift a weight, say we lift a weight on our bicep to a point that it's a heavier weight or it's more reps or it's more sets or it's that progression and we hit that point that we haven't done before, we tear the muscle fibers in that muscle, which sounds bad, like I said, but this is a good thing. We are then going into the recovery phase to have those muscle fibers repair and recover. And when they do, they will do so bigger, better, stronger. So gradually that we won't actually see it from week to week. But again, when we step back, we can see it over time. So if we think about that, if we've pushed super hard in the session, we've torn those muscle fibers, we enter that recovery phase, and then we think, I have to train super hard all the time. And we go back the next day and we do the same thing. They're still in that recovery phase and then we're working them again. Two things are going to happen here. A, they're not going to be able to perform like they did yesterday because they're torn, they're wrecked, they're cooked. And where we would see that real progress happen from recovery, we've halted that recovery because we've pushed them again. So we've lost that real progress that was the whole point of pushing them to that point in the first place. So I hope all of this makes sense, but this is where we really want to think about, again, like I said at the start, how many times can we realistically train? Putting a program in place that works for that, going into those sessions, focusing on real quality training, pushing to that point of reaching those new highs, tearing those muscle fibers, and then promoting that adaptation, promoting the body hitting that point where it's like, okay, cool, I'm going into recovery. I need to work on this. If I'm doing this again next week, I'm going to go that bit harder. And this is how it all pieces together. Going into the new year, my New Year's do's and don'ts with training, the number one thing I want people to think of is what do they genuinely enjoy? Like what do they actually want their movement to look like in 2023? If that is an activity, if it's something outside the gym, if it's simply just going out and doing that thing to get you moving, that is awesome. If it is more gym or sport specific, whether it is actual gym training and focusing on certain lifts and movements in the gym, or like I said, a running goal, a sporting goal. This is where we really want to look at the actual goal and what we're trying to work towards, and then make sure we have a structured training program in place that works towards that. I think too many people, coming back to our original point of people just thinking that they have to train and they have to train as high intensity as they can, don't really train with purpose or with a specific goal in mind. It's more just like training for the sake of training, training for the sake of burning calories, burning fat. And if we think about what we spoke about earlier, that actually doesn't really play too much of a part in that. It's not having the impact that people want it to have. And this is where a lot of people can find themselves spinning their wheels, because you are going into the gym, whether it be going in on your own or going to like a group fitness class at super high intensity, and you feel like you are genuinely busting your ass, like it's a really high intensity thing, but you don't actually have a lot of wicked body composition change and progress to show for it. And if we think about everything we've spoken about, it all just kind of goes in that loop. It's because we're smashing ourselves and we're not recovering and there's no progression in place and there's no structure in place. So this is where we really want to think, what is the goal and do I have structure in place to work towards that? if we have a fat loss goal going into 2023, we want to remember how small of a role training will play in that overall fat loss equation. So we can definitely factor it in, but we don't want it to be the key factor when we're figuring out how we're going to achieve that fat loss goal. Nutrition will be the number one thing that we want to have in place to work towards that. If we think about how small a part that exercise or calories burned played in that fat loss equation, we know that we can control nutrition so much easily and so much more to make that equation work in our favor. If busting our ass in the gym is only going to contribute to like 10 to 15% of our day, we could manipulate nutrition very quickly, very easily to play a way bigger part than 10 to 15%. If we think about the rest of the calories burnt or energy expenditure in that fat loss equation, like we mentioned, our movement outside of the gym actually plays a way bigger part in that than a lot of people think. And that's where steps will come into play. Like we said, when people monitor their steps. So if you are somebody who is wanting to work towards fat loss and you're going to control your nutrition to do so, one of the other things we can do to work in our favor in that equation is just factor in a few more steps. If we've only got 30, 40, even 60 minutes a few times a week to hit the gym, I would absolutely advise using that time to build strength, build your physique, work on your performance, work on your actual goals in that sense, and then use steps and nutrition to manipulate or control your calories in versus calories out to work in your favor of the fat loss goal. And if you are somebody who doesn't have a fat loss goal going into the new year, which is awesome, my number one piece of advice to you is to really just think about what it is you would love to get out of your training. What is it that you would love to work on? Like we said, whether it's a specific event like a run or a triathlon or a powerlifting competition, we spoke about all those in recent episodes, or it's just certain things in the gym like hitting a certain lift, learning a certain movement. This is where we want to look at looking ahead a little bit and saying, okay, what is not the end goal, but what is sort of the longer term goal, whether that be in the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, whatever it is. And then how do we work backwards from there? If we have a goal to hit a certain weight on a deadlift, what is the goal? Where are we at right now? And then literally that is how we build a progressive program from there. If we are at point A and we want to get to point B, what has to happen every day, every week, every month to get from one to the other? And on that same note, and this is where we're going to finish up in a second, we spoke a little bit about in recent episodes about instead of looking at, you know, what do we dramatically want to do in January or February, or what's like the super, super urgent thing we want to achieve in the new year, taking that step back and looking at our year, at our goals, and finding that genuine enjoyment with nutrition and training to work for you. So I would absolutely advise having a listen to those recent episodes, taking it all in and working out where you fall amongst all of these things. Like we said, some people love gym, love this sort of lifestyle, some people don't, and that is totally fine. My number one piece of advice with this whole thing is to really work out what is going to work best for you and how you can set up genuinely enjoyable, realistic, sustainable nutrition and training for the whole year, as opposed to doing something like a dramatic 6 week challenge or 8 week challenge to like just get through it and just get to where you want to be as soon as you can without actually learning, without actually getting those habits in place, without actually getting the structure in place to then keep going and progress towards your goals through the whole year and actually enjoy it. So thank you so much for listening. Definitely go back and have a listen to the last few episodes if you haven't. And next week's episode is going to be my first guest episode on the Eat Like Ruby podcast, which I am super excited for. So make sure you have subscribed so you can be notified as soon as that one comes out. And in the meantime, make sure you are following me on Instagram if you are not already. It is just eat_like_ruby. That's where I post heaps of my nutrition and training content every single day. But otherwise, we will be back next week.